Welcome to The Critique. Today, we are looking at The Grammar of Violence, a white paper analyzing the structural roots of global crises through conflict archetypes and economic value codes. Let's get straight to the feedback.
While the theoretical integration of Goltung's violence triangle and McMurtry's value codes is intellectually robust, the paper risks remaining too abstract for policy-oriented readers.
Yeah, I completely agree with that assessment. It's a dense read.
It really is. I mean, the weakness here is that the document excels at what it calls grammar-level analysis in section 1.3.
Right, identifying those deep codes.
Exactly. The DMA code, which is a dualism, Manichaeism, Armageddon.
The classic us versus them setup.
Right, and contrasting that with the HGT code, holism, dialectics, transcendence.
It's brilliant in theory.
It is, but these concepts remain high-level philosophical constructs for much of the text. So the reader understands the theory of the self-sealing feedback architecture from section V.
Sure, they get the mechanics of it on paper.
But they might struggle to visualize exactly what this looks like in a specific day-to-day policy decision or, you know, a boardroom meeting.
The gap between the deep culture and this morning's news is just too wide.
Precisely. So the suggestion is to bridge the gap between the deep grammar and surface events earlier and more frequently.
We can't wait for the reader to just deduce how these scripts manifest.
No, you have to show them the mechanics of the translation from script to policy.
So how do we do that? What are some concrete examples?
Well, one way is through case study insertions.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Instead of just defining something like project as structural stabilizer in the abstract, which they do in section 3.3.
Right.
You insert a specific sidebar or a call-out box analyzing a recent, recognizable geopolitical event.
You deconstruct it step by step.
Yes. Show exactly which phrase in a leader's speech triggered the DMA script.
Like highlighting the exact words that signal that Manichaean us versus them worldview.
Exactly. And then show which specific budget allocation represented the structural outcome of that script.
That makes it undeniable. It grounds the philosophy in hard data.
Another concrete example would be applying a Monday morning test.
I love the sound of that. How would that work in Section 4?
So in Section 4, the ruling value code, you add a day-in-the-life narrative component.
Okay, like a vignette.
Describe how a well-intentioned decision-maker is constrained by the growth imperative as sacred norm from Section 4.2.
They want to do the right thing, but the system.
The system forces their hand. They are forced by the incentive structure to make a harmful decision.
Like cutting public health funding just for fiscal efficiency.
Exactly. Show the banality of the violence to make the grammar tangible.
It's not always a dramatic Armageddon speech. Sometimes it's just a spreadsheet cell being updated on a Tuesday.
And that's what makes the violence structural. It's built into the mundane decisions.
The structural pacing of the document creates a sense of fatalism that undermines the viability solution presented at the end.
Yes, that pacing issue is incredibly pronounced.
It really is. The weakness is that the paper spends sections I through V, which is roughly 34 pages, rigorously proving that the system is this inescapable loop.
A self-sealing feedback architecture that converts every crisis into a reinforcement.
Right. So by the time the reader reaches section 7, constructive reframing, they have just been battered.
Battered by the argument that the system is inevitable.
That it's total and utterly immune to correction. And that cancer analogy in section 4.3 really reinforces this terminal feeling.
It really does.
The solution just feels like a postscript to a eulogy.
That is a great way to put it. You're exhausted by the time you get to the hope.
So the suggestion here is to rebalance the structural weight of the paper.
Interweave the viability architecture from section 7 throughout the diagnosis.
Don't save it all for the end. Make the pathways to viability visible alongside the drivers of harm.
Give us some concrete examples of how to achieve that interweaving.
One strong example is countermapping.
Okay.
When introducing the violence triangle in section 2.1, immediately introduce a viability triangle alongside it.
Oh, I see.
Contrast direct violence with direct restoration. Contrast cultural violence with cultural healing.
That's incredibly effective. It shows the reader that an alternative grammar exists simultaneously.
Exactly. It just isn't dominant right now, but it is there.
It reminds the reader that the code can be rewritten because another code is already running in the background.
Yes, another concrete example is highlighting the cracks in the concrete.
Elaborate on that.
In Section 5, where it details the self-sealing feedback architecture, explicitly add a subsection on systemic leaks or anomalies.
Instances where the self-sealing loop actually failed.
Yes, where a crisis did lead to reform or where HDT logic prevailed against the odds.
This proves the system is not omnipotent.
And it prepares the ground for the actual solutions in Section 7. It turns the entire piece from a diagnosis of a terminal illness into a search for a cure.
The use of biological metaphors, specifically the cancer analogy, is powerful but potentially alienating to the institutional actors needed to implement the transition mechanisms.
That is a really sharp observation. The metaphor works logically, but rhetorically, it's a minefield.
Right.
The weakness is found primarily in Section 4.3. Comparing economic growth to pathogenic growth in cancer cells is structurally accurate within the paper's logic.
It maps perfectly.
It maps perfectly, but it is rhetorically risky.
Very risky.
If the target audience includes economists, security analysts, or policy planners, labeling their foundational logic as a malignancy is going to cause problems.
It's going to trigger the conspiracy reflex.
Or just extreme defensiveness, which the paper explicitly warns against in Section 6.1.
Right. It frames the system as diseased rather than misaligned. And nobody wants to be told they are working for a disease.
Exactly. So the suggestion is to shift the metaphorical frame from pathology and disease to design and engineering.
Frame the self-maximizing code not as a cancer, but as a legacy operating system.
Yes, an operating system that is simply incompatible with the current hardware.
The hardware being our planetary limits.
That is a much more neutral, workable metaphor. Let's talk about some concrete examples of this shift.
Well, you could reframe Section 4.3 completely. Rewrite pathogenic growth as competing optimization functions.
That sounds much more like an engineering problem.
Right. Describe the conflict as a system optimizing for variable A, which is capital accumulation, while completely ignoring boundary condition B.
Ecological limits?
Yes. This is an engineering problem, not a moral indictment.
It removes the shame from the equation.
Exactly. Another concrete example would be the update metaphor.
How does that work in Section 7?
Frame the shift to life maximization not as a surgery to remove a cancer, but as a source code update.
Oh, that appeals directly to the technocratic rationality of the reader.
It implies that the intent of the original system might have been totally rational in a different context, like an empty world with boundless resources.
But it is irrational in the current context of a full world.
Exactly. This allows those institutional actors to save face while still embracing radical change.
You aren't evil, your software is just out of date.
The proposed transition mechanisms are the most critical part of the paper, but currently lack the granular how required to be actionable.
This is the operational core of the entire critique. The ideas are there, but the bridge is missing.
Yes. The weakness is glaring in 7.7. The paper lists 5 mechanisms, like dual accounting systems and gradual demilitarization.
Which are correct in principle.
They are correct, but they are massive, multi-generational shifts. The paper completely lacks the bridge steps that connect the current war state mindset from Section 3.4 to these future ideals.
A policymaker reading this knows what to do conceptually.
But they have no idea where to start on Monday morning.
Not without being fired or marginalized by the incentive lock-in detailed in Section 5.4.
Right. If you walk into a boardroom and demand gradual demilitarization today, you're just going to lose your job.
So the suggestion is to break down the transition mechanisms into phases of implementation.
Specifically focusing on Trojan horse strategies.
Strategies that can exist within the current value code while subverting it from the inside.
We need concrete examples for this one. It's crucial.
Okay, let's look at the shadow price strategy.
Right.
For ecological accounting integration in Section 7.3, suggest specific regulatory tweaks.
Such as?
Mandating shadow pricing for carbon and biodiversity loss in all public procurement.
And do this before a full tax is even implemented?
Yes. This uses the current market logic to introduce the new value code invisibly.
You're training the bureaucracy to account for the true cost before you ever penalize them for it.
Exactly. It's a Trojan horse. Another concrete example would be safe-fail experiments.
Zones of exception.
Yes. Propose specific zones of exception or pilot programs where the viability principle from Section 7.1 can be tested on a small scale.
Like a municipal bond.
Precisely. A municipal bond issued solely on life support index metrics, like the ones proposed in Appendix G.
Give the reader a minimum viable product version of the revolution.
You don't have to overthrow the global order on day one. Just run a pilot program in one city.
That is highly actionable. It scales the ambition down to the level of the bureaucrat's desk without losing the ultimate goal.
It makes the transition plausible.
Well, to recap the main structural feedback we've covered today, first, operationalize the abstract theory with case studies so readers can see the grammar in action.
Second, weave the viability architecture throughout the diagnosis to avoid fatalism.
Third, reframe the biological metaphors to engineering concepts to reduce institutional defensiveness.
And finally, break down the transition mechanisms into immediate, actionable pilot steps, like those Trojan horse strategies.
It really is about structural redesign, applying that HDT script, holism, dialectics, transcendence, to the white paper itself.
The paper needs to embody the very solutions it proposes.
We'd love to see how this evolves. We invite the author to refine the draft, especially the transition framework section, and submit it again for another look.
It has the potential to be a genuinely transformative document.
It does. Thank you for joining us for this critique.